The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Women's Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericawomen.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff and management. Welcome to Shannon Skinner Live. On our show, you'll meet some extraordinary guests. Shannon is host of the popular television program and online platform, ExtraordinaryWomenTV.com. Now she brings those resources to a radio platform for an even more in-depth look at the stories and solutions you can use to live your magnificent life and make our world a better place. Now, here's Shannon Skinner.
Hello, welcome to Shannon Skinner Live. I'm your host, Shannon. Well, this is a show that uncovers the stories and solutions to living an extraordinary life and making this world a better place. Today, we'll be talking about building a future of esteemed youth. In the first half of the show, I'll be speaking with world-renowned human behavior specialist, author, and global educator, Dr. John DeMartini. And in the second half, I'll be joined by a woman who has created a special youth day around the world to help youth build self-esteem. What would our future look like if all young people had good self-worth? If every human grew up feeling valued and valuable, would we have crime? If each human being on the planet experienced love for themselves and could see his or her magnificence, could we still have violence and terrorism? Growing up in the 60s in the Canadian prairies taught me to look up to the sky and see its blueness, its vastness, and to dream. After all, in my small town, there were no high-rises to block the sky's view. My dream was to bust out of the town I was living in because of the limited opportunities and find something bigger, more exciting. Summer nights, I would lie on my back, gazing at the stars, and dream. But then, we all dream. The dream is the easy part. What happens next to make that dream come true isn't so easy. I'm a child of the 60s. There was no internet, there was no social media, and we most certainly weren't taking selfies. As a youngster, I wasn't interested in academia. I always craved something, learning something, but the school environment wasn't really the ideal for me. I was constantly searching for more, as my father would call me his Rolling Stone. Today, the world looks much different for younger people. On one hand, it seems there has never been more opportunity for learning and to work and connect thanks to the internet. And yet, we are also seeing a darker side for today's youth. So what is it going to take to build a future of esteemed youth who feel good about themselves, who feel valued and valuable, who can dream and make that dream come true? Well, my first guest is Dr. John DeMartini, and I'm very, very thrilled and honored to be able to introduce him to you. He is a world-renowned specialist in human behavior, a researcher, author, and global educator. He has studied more than 29,000 books from a wide range of disciplines and has synthesized the wisdom of the ages. He speaks and teaches all over the world and has shared the stage with Sir Richard Branson, Deepak Chopra, and Donald Trump, and many others. Dr. DeMartini is the author of over 40 books, including the acclaimed The Breakthrough Experience, which has been translated into over 29 languages. His home is, well, the world. Welcome, Dr. John DeMartini. I'm so thrilled to have you here today.
Well, thank you for having me again. Thank you.
Now, when I introduce my guests, I'd like to introduce, indicate sort of where they are based or where they live. In your case, you sort of live all over the world. You travel almost every day of the year.
You said you were a Rolling Stone. I guess I am too. I have been, I've said since I was about 20, 21 years old that the universe is my playground, the world is my home, every country's a room in the house, every city's a platform that I get to share my heart and soul. And that's still a truism today.
Now, you have a new project. I mean, you've created so much, 40 books, you've got many CDs, you you teach all over the world. You consult with many high-profile businesses. You speak at institutions all over. And I know that you've got a new project called John Song. So let's just start there. What is it about?
Well, a number of years ago, I did a presentation at the World Trade Center in Mexico City. And we filmed it. There's about 2,600 people. And they audio and filmed it and made a DVD out of it. And somebody who was in the music industry loved the DVD. It was called The Infinite Wisdom of Love. And took excerpts out of it and asked if they could put music to it and a chorus to it and make a song based on the principles that they learned from it. And lo and behold, they put this magnificent song and video collection with it and launched it. And so I've been blessed to have that song now get out, reach new people this week, starting this week.
Well, that's very exciting. And I think for youth, youth expresses themselves often through music or use music to for healing, whatnot. Many others do. But, I mean, I think we're talking about youth today. So this sounds like it's a great thing for youngsters to listen to.
Well, I think I really believe I'm very grateful for the song because it's all about gratitude. And I really believe it's geared for the youth. And I can't imagine anybody listening to this song without getting an inspiration. I was inspired not just because I had lyrics in it and writings in it, information in it, but just the way they put it together, the musicians put it together. I had tears in my eyes, and I was grateful. And it's about gratitude and love, and I really believe that everybody could benefit from listening to this song. And I hope that they do because I think it will uplift everybody who listens.
And at the end, you say, I believe, to look in the mirror at the end of the day and say, wow.
Well, that's the thing, because so many people can't. They have difficulty looking in the mirror and saying, wow, you're magnificent. I love you. Thank you. And I believe this song helps them. And it's time to be reminded of that, because I think that we all deserve that. And I think the youth, particularly, with the challenges they face, having to subordinate to the last generation, having to deal with that last generation, is time for them to step up and become the new leaders and give themselves permission to love themselves and appreciate themselves for their direction and their mission.
Hey, you teach all over the world. You have built a successful business. You are a researcher. You've read more books than anybody I know and probably more than most anyone on the planet. It takes somebody with a good amount of self-worth to do that. What were you like as a teenager?
Well, you have some idea. I was told in first grade that I would never be able to read or write or communicate, never amount to anything, never go very far in life. And I had learning problems for sure, and speech problems and dyslexia. And I ended up leaving school. So my teenage years were living from a bowling alley to the back of a building to in cars and people's houses and hitchhiking and living on the streets. So I had a teenage years that were like that and also surfing on the beaches. So I was a kind of a long-haired hippie 60s surfer kid. And I didn't think I was going to do anything but make surfboards. At one time, believe it or not, at age 15, I temporarily was living in California before I went to Hawaii. And I was planning on living, my ambition was to meet this girl and get married to her and live in a mobile home.
Well, you kind of are living in a mobile home in a way, too, now.
Yeah, but this was in the roughest area of the gang-infested area of Garfield and Rosecrans, Atlantic Boulevard in East L.A., so it was a rough area. So luckily, I ended up having an event occur that got me back to Hawaii to surf, so I left that, but I had teenage years that were on the streets in those days, so I definitely didn't have a very high ambition, didn't have much of a goal except to, to surf and to make a living somehow day to day on minimum wage.
And there was a turning point in your life, the turning point that you decided that you were going to find more worth in yourself. What was that turning point?
Well, I made it from California to eventually Hawaii, and I socially climbed. I started out living under a bridge. I moved into a park bench. I moved into a bathroom at a park. I lived in an abandoned car. And then I finally got into a tent, so that was a high social climbing there. And then I almost died at 17. And if it wasn't for a lady that found me in my tent, I wouldn't be here. And she led me to a little health food store, which led me to a little talk, which I never attended. But something intuitively said, go to this talk. And I met Paul Bragg, who's the one that initiated Jack Elaine's career, and Donald Trump. It had impact on Donald Trump and Steve Jobs and many other people. And this man, one night and 1 hour with his one message, wow, my life changed. I got so inspired by this man's message that I believed that night that maybe I could learn how to read and eventually learn how to go back to school. And my life changed in one night. One simple, inspired message by a man changed my life.
And in those moments, you must have had those moments where you thought, I can't do this. I can't do this. It's too hard to do what I'm doing, to get where I want to go. At that stage, when you were a youth, I mean, where'd you find the courage or the power within yourself to keep going?
Well, I had, when I first, after meeting him, shortly afterward, I ended up flying back to L.A., hitchhiking back to Texas, and taking a GED, high school equivalency test. I guessed, and I passed. Then I took a college entrance exam with my encouragement of my parents. I guessed, and I passed. I guessed. I didn't even know how to read the damn things. And then I took my first college class, and it was in history. And I took my first summer school test 2 weeks into it, the class, and I got a 27. I bombed the test. I was supposed to get a 72. I assumed I was going to pass by guessing like the other ones, but this time it didn't work. And I was so devastated, I literally couldn't even cry. I was crying so much I couldn't even drive home. And I ran to my car, I cried, I drove home, I curled up in a fetal position in the living room in my parents' house under this Bible stand, and I was just having a low moment. I was in my mind, I was hearing my first grade teacher saying, you'll never read, you'll never write, you'll never communicate, you'll never go very far, you'll never amount to anything. And my mom came home from shopping, and she saw me on the floor, and she said, son, what happened? What's wrong? She hadn't seen me cry since I was young. And I said, Mom, I blew it. I guess I don't have what it takes. I guess I'm, you know, stupid. And she didn't know what to say. And finally, she put her hand on my shoulder and she said, son, whether you become a great teacher, healer, and philosopher like you dream, whether you return to Hawaii and ride big waves as a surfer, or you return to the streets and panhandle as a bum, I just want to let you know that no matter what, your father and I are going to love you no matter what you do. We just love you. When she said that, my hand went into a fist. I saw a vision of me speaking in my mind's eye, and I said to myself, I'm going to master this thing called reading, I'm going to master this thing called studying and teaching and learning, and I'm going to do whatever it takes, I'm going to travel whatever distance, I'm going to pay whatever price to give my service of love across the planet. And I got up and I hugged my mom, I went in my room, and I started memorizing a dictionary, 30 words a day, until my vocabulary was strong enough to pass school. And then I was so determined at that moment, there was no turning back at that moment, that with the help of my mom's unconditional love, I made a determination that I was going to read encyclopedias and dictionaries and going to read, you know, and take myself out of this situation. And I've never stopped reading since. I never stopped teaching and traveling and doing what I committed to do. So what I'm doing today is a result of that special day, too.
So then how important is it to build self-worth in our young people around the world?
Well, every human being lives by a set of priorities, a set of values, regardless of age or background. And whenever they're setting goals that are truly aligned and congruent with their highest value, when they're doing what's truly important to them, what's really important, not what everybody else expects from them, but what they're really inspired from within to do, they automatically increase the probability of achievement. They raise their self-worth. They activate their executive center. They see a vision. They start planning and executing. They start fulfilling their lives. And if they don't, and they subordinate to everything on the outside, and they feel unfulfilled, they'll look for immediate gratification, and they'll do, addictive behaviors, and they'll lower their self-esteem, and they'll end up a follower, and they'll end up beating themselves up because they're expecting unrealistic expectations out of themselves. It's so important for the youth to find out what's meaningful and inspiring to them. Jacob Barnett is one of the geniuses on the planet. His mother helped find what was important to him and helped gear his life to fulfill that. Terence Tao, who's one of the greatest mathematicians, His mother helped him find out what was most important to him and helped structure his life to fulfill it. This is so important. I've watched kids in Africa, only 27 out of 100 kids would finish matric in this one township. And we went in there and helped them find out what was inspiring to them and helped them orchestrate and structure their life and prioritize their life and do the things that are most important. And 97% 1 year later were finishing school. So it's so important to help them find what's truly inspiring for them, because they get labeled from the outside if they don't get inspired from within. If you don't fill your day with high-priority actions that inspire you, it fills up with low-priority distractions. Don't. And this is the key to raising self-worth, is filling your day with truly inspiring things and giving yourself permission to shine.
Well, can you tell me some about some of your programs that are geared to youth and how that works?
Well, one of the programs, you know, when I met Paul Bragg, the teacher that inspired me when I was 17, that night I said, you know, someday when I'm his age, because he was way up in age, I want to do the same thing he's done to as many people as I can and find me a young man to pass the torch to like he did. But I started doing Young Adults Inspired Destiny programs, which is for teens, and that inspires me, because what I do is I teach them everything I can on how to awaken the most magnificence they have inside. Because some of them, they're not recognizing it. They can't look in the mirror and say, thank you, I love you. And by the time we spend a day with them, they're able to. Because they're looking at their life for things on the way, not in the way. They're learning how to ask a new set of questions. They're learning how to set goals that are really theirs. They're learning how to prioritize things. They're learning how to read and link what they want to learn to what's important to them. They're learning how to do skills to help them master their lives. And I'm amazed what happens to these youth when they give themselves permission to be what they really want to be, because deep inside they love learning and they love making a difference.
Can you give me an example of how you might have helped a youngster develop more self-worth and go on to create something magnificent in this world?
Well, I had a 19-year-old boy who came to the Young Adults Inspired Destiny Program. Just turned 19. His father was expecting him to be an engineer because he was an engineer, and he really was uninspired in school. He was just kind of getting by, and his parents were pressuring him and trying to tell him that if he doesn't do this, you know, they're not going to pay for college and this and that. They're really putting pressure on him. And he hated it. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to do that. And he was doing all the things that teenagers do. And he came to the Young Adults Inspired Destiny Program. He's got new skills. He learned to prioritize what he wanted. I told him, I said, if you don't decide what it is you're going to do and be absolutely clear and certain about it, your parents are going to pressure you to do what they think you should do. And he said that he cried, and he said, well, I know what I want to do. And I said, what is it you want to do? Declare it. He says, I want to stand on a stage and do something like you. I want to do something with my life. It's amazing. I said, well, then let's define it. He wrote it all down, and he got like, you know, Tom Cruise and Jerry Maguire. He got inspired, and he wrote it all down that day. And I said, well, let's prioritize your actions. What are the highest priority actions you can do today that can help you make that come true tomorrow? And we started him on a habit of writing down his highest priorities each day. Anyway, we're now 6 years out of that. He's now 25 years old. In February this last year, he was in Zambia on stage with Richard Branson for entrepreneurial development. He has his own company called Genius. He has a thing he does consulting for individuals and companies. He's doing amazing things, Dave, because he gave himself permission to do what he wanted to do. And he told his father that's what he was doing, and his father backed away when he saw how committed he was. He linked all the classes he was taking to his new career path. He started excelling in school. He did amazing things. And his father honors him, and he makes way more money than his father was expecting from what he was going to push him to do. So all I know is that it doesn't matter where you start, doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is, are you going to follow the principles to stand the test of time? If you do, your youth today can become leadership tomorrow.
Now, I this last week spent a day with a large group of young people, and through my conversations, I had learned that there are many more teens that are on antidepressants than I had even imagined, based on, you know, some information that came my way. Depression seems to be on the rise for young people. At least that seems to be my awareness of it. Why is that? Is it because they're feeling unfulfilled? Is it because they're not prioritizing? Why are we seeing a higher climb of depression?
Well, I deal with depression, students with depression every week, and in my Breakthrough Experience program also. And I always say depression is a comparison of your current reality to a fantasy or unrealistic expectation you keep being addicted to. You keep expecting yourself to do something that's not really meaningful to you. And that's a surefire way to have what I call the ABCDs of negativity: internal anger and aggression, internal blame and feelings of betrayal, internal criticism and challenge, and internal despair and depression. So depression is a byproduct of that. So what I do is I help young people who are in this depression that have been labeled biochemically imbalanced, and which is a pharmaceutical heaven. You know, they love selling that idea because then people will just run to a drug. But I've never seen a drug be the solution. I rarely ever see it. And biochemical imbalances have other sources. You know, if you have if a tiger jumped in a room at you, your cortisol levels, your norepinephrine, everything else would jump up and your dopamine would go down. You'd have a biochemical imbalance. Not because you have a problem in the brain, but because you're having a perception. And when we have unrealistic expectations and perceptions that are imbalanced, our biochemistry gets imbalanced and we end up depressed. So I show people how to reclaim their power back, set real goals and real expectations that are according to real highest values, expect people to live according to their values and don't set up unrealistic expectations on them, and restructure their life and prioritize their life where their self-worth goes up. And they lift the depression back into inspiration again. So it's not hard to do. It's just a matter of taking the time to show them what to do.
And, you know, with social media now, the age of Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, and so many more social media outlets that I don't even know of that young people are on, there's a lot of pressure to be seen. And also they compare themselves to each other quite a bit. And of course, we're seeing this growing trend of selfies. And some experts are saying that the selfies themselves are linked to mental health conditions and addiction, and that might be creating depression sort of within this age group. I mean, what is the answer? I mean, do you see that that's happening?
Well, the thing is if you sit there and compare yourself to others instead of comparing your daily actions to your own inspiration and dreams, you're going to beat yourself up. We're not here to live in the shadows of anyone. We're not here to put people on pedestals or pits. We're here to put them in our hearts. And we're here to prioritize our own daily life and live by high priorities, which raise our self-worth. So I'm not against social media. Social media has a value if it's used wisely. But if you sit there and just compare yourself and beat yourself up and expect yourself to live in other people's values instead of your own, you're going to have depression. You got them to realize that every decision you make as a teenager is based on what you believe will give you the greatest advantage or disadvantage at that moment in time, according to your highest values. So anytime you set goals that are according to somebody else's and not your own, that are not really inspiring to you, you're automatically going to self-defeat. So if you're going to use social media, use it to share your inspirations on a daily basis and not do comparisons. Share what it is that you're doing on a daily basis that is inspiring and count your blessings. If you don't count your blessings, you don't get more blessings to count.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? And why not share all your blessings on social media and make a difference in people's lives?
Exactly. I try to lift something of inspiration every single day on my social media, and that's the purpose of it. Not just for social gossip and not just for gripe sessions. And you know, there's an old proverb that says people that are at the bottom of the barrel of life are people talking about other people. People in the middle layers are talking about their dreams, and people at the top are talking about the contribution and the mission that they have that they want to live for. And I always say that it's wise to prioritize and stick to the high priority things in life that tend to expand your space and time horizons and tend to give yourself permission to do something more. We have an executive center that comes online when we live by our highest values. We have an amygdala that comes online when we live by low values. The amygdala is avoid pain, seek pleasure, and immediate gratifying, which basically creates an animal out of us and makes us the addictive person. And the executive center makes us a leader with self-governance and allows us to go and build self-worth and do something inspiring. So it's wise to prioritize and build the self-worth by doing the ABCs, not the XYZs.
Now, if there was a young girl listening to you right now, what would you say to her?
Instead of comparing yourself to somebody else, compare yourself again to your highest priority actions. write down every single day, what is the highest priority thing I can do today that can help me fulfill what's most inspiring, most meaningful to me in my life? And sit there and define what it is you want to dedicate your life to. Nobody's going to get up in the morning and dedicate their life to you. And even your parents who love you are going to love you according to their values and going to project their values onto you until you decide exactly what you're going to dedicate your life to and take command. So don't wait for the world around you to tell you what to do. Take command. You know, if you, any area of your life you don't empower, somebody's going to overpower you. And you have beauty, and sit down and write down all the areas of your own beauty and recognize the beauty you have. I've worked with supermodels, many of them. And my daughter, as you know, is a fashion designer, and so we have models around us all the time. And I'm amazed how many models even that are look gorgeous. They beat themselves up because they compare themselves to others and think, oh, my hair's too thin, I'm too tall, my neck's too thin, my breasts aren't balanced, or who knows what. You want to find out what you do have to offer instead of what you don't. Because you can always find something that's not working. Go find something that is. Concentrate on what is helping you get what you want in life instead of focusing on what's not. And it makes a difference because then you'll move forward instead of backwards.
And oftentimes people do focus on what's not there than rather than what is there in their lives.
I can always look in the mirror and find something, you know, my hair's too thin, I can always find that. But the question is what is it that is working? And that's what you do. I had a lady that was beating herself up because she was overweight and she didn't have the beautiful body. And I said, so what do you have? And she said, well, I don't have anything. I said, no, what do you have? Quit asking that other one. What do you have? And she says, well, I have beautiful eyes. I said, great, that's true. Look at your eyes. You got long eyelashes that women would die for. She goes, well, I do. I said, and what else? She goes, I have thick hair. I said, great. There's people that have thin hair that wish they could have thick hair. You got that. What else? She says, well, I got beautiful skin because I'm a weight. It's smooth and skin is nice. I said, what else do you have? She says, I got a good smile. I said, keep going. She started crying. She says, I've never taken the time to do this. I said, well, take the time to do this. But if you don't value you, don't expect anybody else to. If you don't invest in you, don't expect anybody else to. If you don't pay yourself for what you have to offer, why would anybody else do it? You got to value yourself.
Got to value yourself. And I think we can all take something from this. This has been a very enjoyable time learning from you, and I know that your website has a plethora of information on it. So if anybody wants more, they can go to your website at drdmartini.com. Is that right?
Yes, drdmartini.com. There's an educational experience on there. There's media. There's hundreds and hundreds of media interviews. There's inspired writings. There's products. There's webinars, there's things that we're doing, there's seminars we're doing around the world. Just if they go on there, they can. It can be a complete self-esteem builder. There's even a CD set there for teens specifically, 3 CDs that can, a toolkit for life on living an inspired life. Please have the people go there because it will help you and educate you and help you change your perspective.
And if you could just leave us with your good-to-know tip, your top success tip, that one thing that has made you who you are today.
Well, I learned something from Mary Kay, Cosmetics, many, many years ago when I spoke to her group, God, 28, 29 years ago. And she told me every single day when I told her I wanted to be aspire to be a great speaker traveling the world, what advice can you give me? She said, every day write down the 6 or 7 highest priority actions you can do today that can move you one step closer to your dream. And then do them every single day and then reward yourself in some way. So I chose to pay myself, no matter how much I made, I started paying myself into savings for every time I did every one of the things that I set out for the day. And you got to do daily actions, not long projects, just daily little actions. Because little steps make big dreams and piggy banks become piggy banks. And so I did that, and I can tell you that can make a difference in a person's life by just sticking to the highest priority actions every single day.
And that's good to know. Well, Dr. John DeMartini, it's been such a pleasure having you here on the show, and I wish you all the best, and I look forward to hearing you speak in person one day again very soon.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, and thank you for what you're doing for the youth and for women around the world.
Thank you. Well, I've been speaking with Dr. John DeMartini. He's a world-renowned human behavior specialist and author. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'll be joined by Tylene Dugan. She's the founder of Youth Day Global, which celebrates the achievements of youth in the creative arts. We'll take a break, And we'll come back to Shannon Skinner Live soon.
Marsh Engel Radio is the place for asking the big questions at the center of your success. From ways to fire up a lifestyle of your dreams to the most awe-inspired ideas to launch your entrepreneurial destiny, Marsh Engel Radio is designed to shake up the ordinary, catapult your creativity, and give focus to your passions. Marsh has helped thousands, and she's ready to help you too. Tune in every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Women's Channel.
Are you ready to move to your next level? Listen for Empowering Women, Transforming Lives with host Rebecca Hall-Greider. Each show will focus on a central topic with discussion, guests, and your questions being featured. Our show is perfect for women who feel a call in their heart to step out in a bigger, more powerful way in their life and just need some encouragement, inspiration, and practical steps to support them on their journey. Empowering Women, Transforming Lives can be heard live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Women's Channel. And join us for a replay of the show on Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Are you living the life that you deserve to live? What if there was a journey to be happier that you just didn't know existed? Listen to Create Your Inspired Life After 40 with Diane Lloyd and Tracy Gibson, two women who are on this journey. This is the perfect time for you to discover what's next in the plans for your life. The guests and hosts are here to inspire and engage you to take that next step to create your inspired life after 40. Listen live every Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Women's Channel.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
Hey, did you know Voice America has partnered with the Kidstar Network to expand their reach through Voice America Kids? Voice America Kids will feature talk radio for kids by kids, along with special event programming and live broadcasts. Each program is conveniently archived for on-demand listening at any time. Please check our archives for the latest events and happenings on voiceamericakids.com.
Are tuned in to Shannon Skinner Live. To reach our show today, please call 1-866-613-1612. Again, that's 1-866-613-1612. If you'd rather send an email, the address is info@shannonskinner.com. Now, back to Shannon Skinner Live.
Joining me today is Tylaine Dugan. She is the founder of Youth Day Global, based in Toronto, where I'm based. Well, hello, Tylaine. It's nice to have you here on the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Shannon.
Now, you are a driven and passionate entrepreneur. You've run a number of companies. You first wrote your first business plan by the age of 8. You formed your first company at the age of 11. You speak 6 languages. And you were doing some amazing things for youth, which is something that I would really like to talk about today. Now, let's just talk about a little bit about your career background and what brought you to founding and running Youth Day Global, which is pretty amazing.
Well, I think, unfortunately, we all recall the what was deemed as the summer of the gun and by the media. So I just tried to see what I could use as far as the connections I had, both on a business basis from Bay Street, and the media contacts I had, and how to make some social change that particularly addressed the issues that the youth were facing and why we were suffering such gun violence, senseless gun violence in the city of Toronto. And that's really where it all started, Shannon, by asking the young people what it is they wanted. And they clearly told me they just want some respect. They just want to be able to showcase their positive achievements. As we know, I find that it's the only part of the populace not really rewarded for doing any good, where little children get candies and little stars and we get job promotions or pay raises, but youth don't really get a lot for doing good things. And being an artist is actually very hard work, as we all know, and it's often unpaid, hence the starving artist thing, and not always do you get supported by your peers or your family to go and use the arts for self-expression, which is a very valuable part of our society, because we know from history that most of the successful civilizations were those that invested in the arts. So basically, budgets aside, school cuts aside, music programs cut, I really figured out all they wanted really was a free stage to show us what they're capable of. So Youth Day is really a day of celebrating that hard work that they do throughout the year and letting them shine on stage to their peers, to their family, to their friends from school, to their teacher, and everybody comes out and applauds those positive efforts.
So Youth Day began in Toronto, Youth Day Global, about, 9 years ago now, is that right?
Yes. Our first event was at Nathan Phillips Square in 2007. We had 5,000 people, and now this is the ninth year, and this year we're actually expecting 35,000 people.
Wow, that's really incredible. Give us a sense. I know you're going global. I know that you've had your first event in Jamaica. You are looking at other markets like Amsterdam and other markets around the world. Tell us a little bit about sort of the kinds of activities that Youth Day holds.
Well, one of the things, as much as we are now an event of municipal significance for the City of Toronto, and I think everybody understands that while this is a volunteer-driven organization, grassroots from the community, this problem is global. It is not just in Toronto. We need to show the youth, we need to encourage them and engage them. And, of course, I concentrate on their music, dance, art, photography, fashion, and film. So those are the things they're attracted to, they want to excel at. We also make sure that there's mentoring involved. They also meet like-minded. So a lot of the accolades we receive from parents is that now that they know they can showcase in front of 35,000 people, they are refocused. They don't hang out on the streets. They don't get involved in gangs because now they've met other people, like-minded people, in their passion. So it's all about finding a passion and then allowing them to excel at that.
So finding a passion, excelling it, and excelling and of course, feeling respected.
Yes, loving what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, this is a global matter. So from the success of the Toronto platform, I've been asked by several consulates around the world to bring. And last summer, we actually entertained the mayor of Montego Bay, who asked if we would bring the successful Toronto platform to Jamaica to help their youth as well, because the talent is everywhere. It is incredible. So after we do our second year in Jamaica, we'll be traversing over to Barcelona, Spain, and then Amsterdam, then London, England, and then last but not least, New York.
Ah, that's exciting.
Yes, we're very excited. And it's ironic because music, of course, transcends all borders. It transcends all age groups. And We often give respect at that time to some of the legends. We have done Bob Marley's 70th birthday, for example. We're doing Elvis's 80th birthday, just to let you know that when you accomplish things, it transcends and it leaves a legacy, generations deep. We're all still listening to Beethoven, too.
Well, music is the language of the world, isn't it? It is true. It transcends.
It brings people together, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly brings people together.
And what I think is really interesting about what you're doing is it's many aspects, genres of the creative arts, from music and film, you know, youth. As we know, the visual media medium is super important now in today's world, but especially with youth. You know, it seems like so many youth have camera phones and mm-hmm. they're connected on social media, youth in developed nations anyway.
And, well, Shannon, I'm trying to remain cool. I'm obviously in a different age group. Mm-hmm. And I think as mentors or adults, we have tools that we can pass down to these young people. And really, we're just enabling a stage for them. But it's the youth themselves that design this fun day that families can celebrate every summer in Toronto, every January in Jamaica. And it's just a great way to say well done.
Now, building self-esteem and value is at the core of this. Can you give me an example of someone involved that where this festival, being involved in your festival in Youth Day, has actually help benefit them in their lives? Can you give us one or two examples?
Ironic you should ask that. I recall this very humble little 14-year-old boy with a shirt and a little bow tie. And my stage manager had walked away for a moment, and I knew it was time to put him on. So I said, "Are you ready?" And he said, "Now?" I said, "Yes, now." And he walked up the stairs, just very humble. He was like 11 years old. He pulled out a violin. You watch the crowds. It's a violin. But he got a standing ovation. And when I spoke to him last, because he came back year after year, and when I called him when he was 14, he explained that he was too busy to come to Youth Day this year because he's traveling around the world with the Philharmonic.
Oh, wow.
However, I saw this little boy go up so humble, and he came off, and you could see his chest had expanded. His mom was crying. It was beautiful. Just beautiful.
Now, you've raised 6 children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How has your work impacted your children, or how have your children, in fact, inspired you to want to make a difference in the lives of youth around the world?
Well, actually, my children are, of course, all part of Youth Day. So I know that they will continue long after I'm gone. And that's just a family deal, if you will. They understand the importance. They know what it's done for them. And the other part of Youth Day, of course, is that we're totally volunteer-driven. We don't take government funding. We don't depend on it because we closed down Yonge Street. And that enables food vendors. So I don't worry about Thanksgiving anymore, Shannon. This time I have to feed 35,000 people. And then a third is artisan vendors, so they can show their wares, their homemade jewelry, all the crafts. And then the third is the community, valuable community resources that children and their families can access. So that's why I don't receive government funding or apply for grants, because those people need that purse. I go back to your original question to my corporate contacts and ask them to please show their corporate awareness, you know, their corporate responsibility, I guess one would call it, and help these young people. Well, they're the next workforce, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is in their interest to get involved with Youth Day. And with my children, they understand the business component as well as the philanthropic component. And that literally, I started this with two hands, one person.
Wow. Now, you are also the recipient of the International Women's Achievements Awards for Diversity.
Yes, I was extremely humbled for that.
Pardon me?
I was extremely humbled for that, yes.
What does this award mean to you?
It is, again, the recognition of hard work. I myself am disabled, Shannon. I have a broken back. And I had two choices to make, as I say to young people, too. You always have a choice. So my choice was to stay on bed rest, or my choice was to resist that and create something. So that's what I created, and it worked, I think, mostly because I listened to the youth. I went and asked them first what they wanted. I'm not going to pretend that I know what they need. I'm going to ask them. So we actually operate with two boards. One is a very experienced business board who know how to accomplish A to B. And the other is a youth board where this is not my day. This is their day. So it is their guidance that creates the Youth Day atmosphere, the way the whole thing flows. So we actually listen to the youth, let them partake, because it really is their day.
And that's very interesting. You didn't pretend you knew what youth wanted. You asked
Mm-mm.
them.
No, I don't think that's a road to success, by creating programs for other people that are not in your circumstance. It's very difficult to try and assess. However, it's very easy and quick to ask them.
We have a tendency as adults to think that we know what's best for those that are younger than us, but that's really clearly not always the case, is it?
It is not. And even if you're writing on a government level programs for the elderly or the disabled, unless you're in that situation, one can't walk in those shoes. But it takes the research of asking the people that are dependent on these programs what they would like to see. And again, as the title of my upcoming book, what is the objective?
When is your book going to come out?
Oh, I guess as soon as I finish it.
we all have a book in us ready to go.
Well, you see, I don't look at work as work. I love what I do. I absolutely love what I do, and I'm very fortunate to be able to have this passion and to find a passion. And that's what I'm trying to encourage with the young people, is help them find an interest, a passion.
There's something that you have said that, to help them find a passion.
Yeah.
Something that you have said is that boredom is our nemesis at any age.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean by that?
And one thing we can't get back, Shannon, is time. And yes. As we all know, in any most, unless one is a protege, it will take about 10 years for you to perfect a skill. So they need to start now.
So building self-esteem and value in youth, I mean, we know that we're seeing a rise of depression. We're seeing a rise of eating disorders and addiction, and even addiction to social media and our cell phones with youth. So it sounds like this is a very promising and a very positive solution, and one solution to help youth of today have a better life. A better tomorrow.
Well, it's actually not just youth. Ironically, addressing each of those that you just brought up, all very valid situations. Music, they are now starting to learn very clearly has it is literally one of the only human activities we do that occupies your whole brain, and they are using that now with Alzheimer's as well. However, how many children we might save from suicide by just putting on their favorite song? It can change your mood in less than 1 minute by just putting on some music or starting to dance to some music. It can change your vision of the now. And I think that's very important at any age, and they are proving success with Alzheimer's patients as well, being able to reflect back, all because they put on their favorite song. So that's very powerful, the suicide indeed. And again, I think a lot of this has to do with being able to value yourself. And in many cases, people need a third party to validate their skill set. I've heard many say, I didn't know I was that good, you know. And, yes, it does build the self-esteem. And it's what all human beings want. We all want to be liked. We all want to be recognized. And, again, it seems to be the youth populace there that doesn't quite get a lot of that.
Now, Tylene, we are almost out of time, but before we leave each other here, I would love it if you could just leave us with a good-to-know tip, your top success tip.
Top success tip, Shannon, would be love what you do because you'll be good at it.
Love what you do because you'll be good at it. Love it. Well, Tylene Dugan, thank you so much for being here today. And I wish you all the best with Youth Day Global and all your future initiatives in making this world a better place for youth for today and for tomorrow.
And if your audience would like to check out our website, it's youthdayglobal.com.
Perfect. YouthDayGlobal.com. Well, thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you, Shannon.
I've been speaking with Tylene Dugan. She's the founder of Youth Day Global, based in Toronto. Well, that's the end of our program today. A special thanks to a few important people who helped me along my journey. Mary Trippi, owner of the private world of Mary Trippi Salon, and Vianne Sharif, owner of Dermetics, both located in Toronto. For more information about the show, visit my website at shannonskinner.com. And to keep the conversation going, follow me on Twitter at @Shannon_Skinner and connect with me on Facebook and Instagram. You've been listening to Shannon Skinner Live. I'm Shannon. Join us again next week.
That's all we have time for this week on Shannon Skinner Live. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Women's Channel. We can't wait to talk again soon. That's all we have time for this week on Shannon Skinner Live. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Women's Channel. We can't wait to talk again soon.